on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me. It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined by my twin brother, Andrew Robinson. Today, we got a special guest, man. We've got the head coach of the now three-time national championship winning Putnam Science Academy Mustangs, Coach Thomas Espinosa, man. So, Coach, thanks so much for coming on with us today, man.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. You know, I've been looking forward to this since you asked me, so I'm excited to be here.
Sir, man, it's definitely very, very long overdue, man. So Drew and I definitely are excited for this episode, man. But before we get into the conversation, we want to remind you guys, as always, make sure you guys are subscribing to this podcast, wherever you get it, whether it's Google Podcast, Spotify, Apple, hitting that like button, man. Give us a 5-star rating, please. Tell a friend and tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. It does go a long way as far as getting this podcast out to the right audience, man. So make sure you guys are doing that. And also make sure you guys are streaming my guy, Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. Going to be him again on the outro, man. So make sure you guys tap into his music. One of the hottest artists coming out of Montgomery County, man. But like we said, man, got Coach Espinosa, man. Been a long time coming, man. Me and Drew went to Putnam back in the 2014-2015 season. And since then, Putnam has won three national championships, including one this past season, 2021-2022, man. And obviously, man, school's come a long way, Coach. I mean, from when you guys first started and, you know, you guys were still a very small gym in Putnam, Connecticut. But, you know, just the type of recruits that you guys were getting to now, obviously, Hamadou Diallo, Drew and I, teammates, is playing in the NBA. You guys have sent a number of players, Division I don't even know how many players, but for guys that are watching it, this wall back here is very extensive with all the players that have come through PSA, man. So just walk us through a little bit of the journey, Coach. Like, back to the beginning, man, when you first got the opportunity to coach at Putnam Science Academy, man, just talk me through a little bit of the journey from where you started to kind of where you guys are now.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm very fortunate, you know, being born and raised in Putnam, Connecticut. So, you know, I attended Putnam Public Schools, and then I went on to college, and I was able to play college basketball at Worcester State University for 4 years. And then, you know, I graduated with a health education degree. And then I came back, and I got a job at Putnam High School, and I was teaching over there for 1 year. I was coaching freshman basketball. You know, at Putnam High, and I thought things were good. I was happy. And then after the school year, they made some budget cuts and the health position was being cut. So at that time, Putnam Science Academy, which was run by Wellsprings, just opened up. They were opening up. So, you know, I remember seeing in the little shopper's guide that they had all these job openings, English teacher, math teacher, phys ed teacher, et cetera. So I applied. And I ended up getting the job in 2002. So I was, and I remember it was pretty much like a very low stipend position. It was only like 10 hours a week. And that's how I started, got my foot in the door. I was a phys ed teacher for 10 hours a week for the whole first year. But during that time, for the first 2 years at Putnam Science, we didn't really have, you know, I just started intramural sports. You know, started doing some programs, you know, club soccer and basketball. And so after I coached at Putnam High School, I got into prep school basketball at Marianapolis Prep with my good friend and one of my, you know, role models and mentors, Dave Vitale. And I coached 2 years at Marianapolis Prep, and he just started. He just got the job. So, you know, he was heavily involved in AAU, you know, smart man, retired public school teacher. And he built the program up really quick, and I was able to see how he did it for 2 years. And it was valuable. Those 2 years were very valuable to me. So I was able to work at Putnam Science, you know, for 10 hours a week. Then I was subbing, doing other things, but then coaching at Marianapolis Prep. So, and then after the third year, Putnam Science finally offered me a full-time position. So, you know, I stepped away from Marianapolis Prep and I came over to Putnam Science full-time. So, you know, and it still took me a year or two to start a varsity program. We started the first year we had a varsity team was 2007. 2007, 2008 was the first year. So that's just kind of how, you know, in the early stages, how it got going.
Now, talk about like, you know, I remember you, you made this, you know, this big thing about your first recruit. You know, I think it was Rundell, correct? Was
your, yeah,
was
your correct. First recruit. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Talk about kind of, you know, from Rundell to the Tootie Zimmermans of the world, the Scoochies of the world. Like, what was it like when you kind of secured your first, those first early guys was like, all right, you know, I'm recruiting, we're building this thing up. Like, talk about those days of the program.
Yeah. So the original owners were owned by a group of Turkish guys. So we, and as you guys know, so there's a lot of Turkish kids and it was all boys. You know, we were very low level basketball in 2007, 2008. But as you know, and the guy that helped me recruit, so our first recruit was Rundell Mouget. He was from, the DR, Dominican. He was a 7-footer. And he was, he turned out to be a Division I player, but he was very raw. But the guy that helped me was, you know, Sean Doherty, who coached you guys.
Yep.
You know, at the time he was at, I want to say, maybe he just started at Quinnipiac. Maybe he was just started at Quinnipiac. But I've known Sean since when I was in Worcester. He's a Worcester guy as well. Yep. So I was like, hey, I need to get a recruit, a couple guys. Can you help me out? So then he hooked me up with this guy, Brock Erickson. You guys know Brock?
Yeah, yeah. He was coaching at Bryant when I was getting ready to go to Bryant.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he coached at Iona as well while we were at Quinnipiac. So we're familiar with Brock.
Yeah, so Brian, he was at a JUCO at the time. Yeah. I forgot, in New York. I forgot which JUCO it was. But anyway, Sean introduced me to Brock, and then he had a couple recruits. But at the time, my administration said, yeah, you could bring in one guy. So I remember, yeah, I had two choices. It was like a 6'4", 6'5", guard or a 7-footer. And I decided to go with the 7-footer. So I brought him in. So it was kind of interesting where, you know, and obviously our schedule, I mean, we played the lowest level of private / prep school basketball that there is, you know. I mean, so, you know, like, for example, like St. Andrews was a very good prep school basketball program in Barrington, Rhode Island. Yep. You know, we played their second team, you know, their varsity team. So we were playing a lot of prep school second teams or even third teams. That's where we started. And but Rundell was great. It was kind of funny, you know, it was all these little Turkish guys and then a 7-footer coming off the bus, you know. So, but, you know, but that's kind of how it started. And, you know, and then, you know, we had a decent year. We played in a low-level league. It was called the Coastal Prep League. I think we lost in the finals or something. But then my administration allowed me to bring in two more recruits the following year. You know, Rundell graduated. He went JUCO for 2 years, and then he ended up going to Pacific Division I out in California. So the next year, I was able to bring in three recruits. And that's just kind of how it, you know, how it started. And then the following year, I brought in five recruits. And then it got, I think, to six. And even when you guys were in there, I think we might have like 8-9 recruits, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, but you know what? I look back and I felt like the school did a great thing. The administration did the right thing. And we kind of built it. You know, every year our goal is just to get better, you know. And, you know, some schools, and they're not saying it's right or wrong or whatever, but sometimes a prep school open up and then they're a powerhouse right away. You know, they was bringing like 12 recruits. We kind of incorporated the old with the new, you know what I mean? Like, we kept the students that were here. We kept them involved on the team, and, you know, we took baby steps every year just to get better and better. And I think it was, you know, beneficial for the support of the school, support of the student body, you know, than just bringing in 12 Division I basketball players, you know what I mean? So it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, you know, incorporating, you know, kind of higher level players with lower level players. And it was challenging, but it was fun. And that's just kind of how our goal was. And, you know, I know Josh Scraba, we'll bring his name up, but he's my associate head coach and he's been a big part of this ride. You know, and he came with me, what was it, 2009 or whatever, he came over with us. But he's been great and he's been with me, you know, the whole ride. And we've kind of, and it was our goal together, like, let's just get better every year. Let's get better every year. And that's kind of our philosophy even today.
Now, for the viewers, man, like for those who are watching that don't understand, let me just give you guys a picture of what this kind of looked like back in the day, man. Because obviously it's a little different now, but back when Drew and I got there, man, we were recruited up there in 2014. And I remember Drew wasn't even going to go to Putnam because Drew had a bunch of offers at the time. And at the time, I didn't have any division. Well, matter of fact, Niagara had offers in like June. We had already committed to Putnam. But at the time the Putnam offered me, I didn't have any division one offers. So yep. I was like, no, I'm getting out.
Aaron, you came up with a friend that wanted to come as well. I remember that. It was just you two.
Who you come with?
That came up.
I'm trying to think. I remember though. You came up there and visited, and I wasn't there. And then Mamadou and Chase was there.
I came
one day by myself.
I remember you working out, and I forgot who else you were with.
I forgot who I worked out with, but it was somebody else. And Drew didn't even visit Putnam. He never came to the school.
Yep.
So obviously, I ended up convincing Drew to come with me to Putnam. Obviously, with Coach Gray, but putting the full court press on him and whatnot. I remember our AAU coach drove us to Putnam that day, and so we're driving, we get off at 91, and we're just driving on straight back roads in the van like for like 30 minutes. And Drew's looking at me like, yo, what the hell did you get me into? Like, where the hell are we going? Like, I'm talking about straight one-lane roads in the northeast. Putnam, Connecticut, for those who don't know, is in the northeast corner of Connecticut. I'm pretty sure they call it like the northeast corner or like the quiet corner.
Nine thousand people in our town.
9,000 people in the town of Putnam. Yeah. It is what? 30 minutes from like Worcester and then 45 minutes from Providence.
Yeah. So 45 from Hartford.
Yeah. Yep. So you're closer to like Massachusetts and Rhode Island than you are to like New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, middle of nowhere. So we get there and we get off the bus, man. And we get the gym is like this blue rubber floor. We walk in, man. There's nobody there. We start seeing little Turkish kids walking around. We're like, yo, like, what's going on here? So literally, the school at that time was. It was me, Drew, Keelan, Dondre, and Vince were the postgrads. We had 5 postgrads, and it was Hamadou, Mommy. Oh, John Wallace was postgrad too, so we had 6 postgrads.
Yeah, Josh Wallace, yeah.
And Hami, Mamadou, and B. Hurst, Brandon Hurst. We had, 9 American kids, and then a school full of Turkish kids, like 100 like, Turkish kids, like Muslim, can't wear shoes in the dorm, like they're praying like 6 a.m., and then again at like 6 p.m. or something like that, and then again before they go to bed, and No pork in the cafeteria. We were eating like chicken and rice. Me and Drew gained like 10 pounds eating like chicken and rice every day. Like, it was crazy, man. But we ended up getting jobs at this pizza place called Athens. We could make a little extra money, man.
I think Sam was paying us $50 a week.
Yeah, something
like that. That was it, really. Oh,
like, listen, but me and Drew were taking it, man. We got some free meals.
He was feeding you guys, though, right?
Yeah. He was feeding us, and we were getting a little cash on the side, man. But, and literally, man, it was literally like us, 9 American players, and then we had like a few Turkish kids on the team, and then a whole school full of Turkish kids, like, and they'll be at the games making noise, like beating on drums, going crazy. And
it was like a
soccer game, man. It was crazy. And obviously, by that time, we were playing a great schedule at that time. We were playing the Brewsters and the St. Thomas Moores and the Tiltons. And obviously, the tournament, we went down to Virginia. Thankfully, we had, like I mentioned, we were lucky enough to play with Hamadou Diallo, who at that point in time was kind of getting his foot in the door with a lot of schools. We had the tournament down in Virginia. We played Hargrave and Fishburne.
Played
IMG. So we had played a pretty good schedule by then. But definitely was a culture shock, man, because me and Drew coming from down here in D.C., we had guys from New York, man. And coming up to Putnam was quite the culture shock, man. So. Yeah. Now, obviously, it's a lot different, man. You guys are owned by a different group of people, Chinese investors on the school. You got a girls team now, got a nice hardwood floral weight room, man. So talk a little bit to the viewers about like what it's like today at Putnam Science Academy, man, and kind of what that transition has been like going from where it was in the early days to where it is now.
And also the brief moment where we thought you were going to be at Woodstock.
Yep.
That's right. You remember that. That was the year. Like,
the school was going to be no more. It was getting ready to close.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's right. I mean, you guys were there when we finished our season in March. And I think it was like a couple of weeks later, end of March, my owner calls me in and tells me, hey, we're closing down. And I was like, holy smokes, I've been there for 12, 13 years and it kind of hit me hard. I was like, so they said, we're going to finish the school year. It's the end of March and we're going to go till the end of May, but then we're done. And they had a sister school in New Jersey called Pioneer Academy. So Wellspring, they owned, you know, Putnam Science, but they also owned Pioneer, which was in Wayne, New Jersey. So, and the facilities in Wayne, New Jersey was kind of new, bigger, you know, better, et cetera. So, and at that time, there was things going on in Turkey where they were getting, it was tougher to get kids over to America. And so the enrollment was going down, was, you know, so they had to make a decision and they decided, all right, we're going to shut down Putnam and bring everyone to Wayne, New Jersey at Pioneer. And that was their plan. So, so it was kind of crazy. I mean, we were planning on, you know, I remember like in my office, like, wow, what's the next step for me? But like what Andrew, what you said, you know, Woodstock Academy, a private slash public high school 10 minutes away, the next town over from Putnam, reached out to me and brought me in and I interviewed and they didn't have a prep basketball team. You know, they just played in the public school, but they, because of the way they are, you know, private slash public, they could do different things. So they wanted to add a prep basketball team. So, you know, we went back and forth and, you know, I ended up accepting the job, but it was for September of, you know, 2015 for the fall. Yep. So I kept working here in April and May and, you know, but then all of a sudden, as you guys said, Dr. Ding came in and wanted to buy the school and he decided to buy the school. And so I was in a tough position because, you know, I just accepted a job and it was kind of a big deal because it was a new program. But I had to make a decision. And I mean, honestly, it was a tough decision, but it wasn't because my heart was at Putnam Science. It's, you know, I was here for 13 years and I kind of started the whole, you know, the whole program, not just basketball, but the soccer, baseball, tennis, golf, everything. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just tough for me to leave. I couldn't do it. And so I ended up resigning at Woodstock with, you know, a position I never even really started. And then coming back here at Putnam, but it was just crazy because, like I said before, Pioneer, they took everybody. So they took our faculty, they took all our students, they took everything. So, you know, when Dr. Dean came in, they tried buying the facility, but it took longer than they thought. And the closing didn't happen till like middle of October of 2015 and school started in September. Oh, yeah. So during the whole summer, you know, we're Coach Graver and I, we're recruiting and we're planning on, you know, having a season and getting prepared, getting everything ready. But we couldn't advertise as a school. We couldn't recruit other students because we didn't own it, you know. So we actually rented the school from September and, you know, that till a couple of weeks in October until the closing finally happened. So that year was like no other. And I know you guys know the story is, you know, we had about 18 kids here on campus that whole school year. I mean, we had more faculty than students. It was crazy. And it was basically all the students were the kids that we recruited. It was basically the basketball team and two Chinese kids. And that was it. So it was a wild year. You know, and I mean, it was crazy, but I give a lot of credit to the student athletes that we had during that year. They really, you know, it was tough not going to school, having, you know, friends and females and activities. It was tough, but the kids really were focused, mature, and you know they knew why they were there, to get, you know, work on their game and get exposure, etc. And we actually had, that was probably up to that point our best year we ever had. We made it to the Final Four that year, and you know we beat some big time schools, and that was kind of the team that really said, all right, you know, we could be one of the best in the country.
I think that's a perfect segue into my next question, man, because you're talking about, you know, being one of the best in the country. And you guys just finished up a spectacular season, man, where you guys were undefeated, won the national title, blew the doors off everybody. I mean, winning games by 30 points. Talk about just this year's team, what you guys were able to accomplish, some of the players that you guys were able to have on the roster this year, and just, I mean, how dominant of a team you guys really were, man, and being able to take home the national championship this season.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about this the other night, and you know, we want to talk about this too. You guys getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. We got to talk about that after. Sure. This team was something. You know, this team was something. And the funny, people don't realize, you know, we don't get like you guys know we don't get the top 50 recruits, and you know, you Aaron, you guys both just talked about it, how our facilities, you know, we're an old Catholic school. That's what we are. We're an old Catholic school that closed in 1975, and for 25 plus years this building sat here and no one used it. You know, that kind of sums up our facilities. You know, we've upgraded, put money into it, but it's still an old Catholic school. So, I mean, you go to these other schools, IMGs and the Mount Vers and the Brewster Academies. I mean, it's night and day with facility wise, you know. So, you know, we don't really go after those top 50 recruits. And even if we do, we don't usually get them. But, you know, we get kids that are younger, you know, maybe, you know, junior or senior, and they come back as post grads and they become top 50 players, but we usually don't get those top players right away. So anyway, going back to this year's team, I mean, most of these guys, honestly, half of our roster, prep schools didn't even recruit some of these kids, you know, they're under the radar. And we say it all the time, the kids that we recruit, the kids that we're successful with are the kids that, you know, that are hungry, have something to prove, you know. They're either, they don't have any offers and they want to get a Division II offer, or they have D2 offers, they want to be low major, they want to be mid major. So those are kids we recruit, kids that have a chip on their shoulder, they have something to prove. And this year's team was a perfect example of that. I mean, this year's team was so under the radar, but they really, you know, and as you guys know, you got to have leaders. You don't want to hear it from the coaches all the time. It's got to be guys in the locker room. And this team was full of guys that just, you know, they said, like, hey, coach, we're not going to lose this year. Paturo Dean and Barry Evans, they said, coach, it's not going to happen, you know. I mean, and, you know, deep down, I wish I could say I believed them, but, you know, but this year was unbelievable. I mean, and Andrew, you just said, I mean, the average margin of victory was over 30 points a game, which is unbelievable. And I'm not knocking any undefeated teams in prep school basketball in the past. But our schedule was, we played everybody. And I think we talked about it this past weekend. You know, prep school basketball in New England is considered, you know, sometimes the best basketball in the country, you know. And it's called NEPSAC, New England Prep School Athletic Conference. But out of that, and then there's all different divisions, AAA, AA, A, and all that, B goes down the line. But this past year, we got approached about doing a national prep school league. And so there was myself and two other high level, you know, prep school coaches that they, you know, talked to. And then so the three of us got together and said, hey, do we want to do this national prep school thing? And we decided not to do it. We said, you know what, you know, this is the first time in the last couple of years we're actually losing kids in New England, and they're going elsewhere. They're going down to Florida, and they're going to Missouri, and they're going to these different prep schools. That never happened 20 years ago. Everybody came to New England. Everyone came to New England. So we said, you know, why give some of these other prep schools, not saying more credit, but you know what I mean? Like, say, hey, they're in the same league. You know, they could be one prep school out in Missouri, and they say, hey, we're in the same league as Putnam and Brewster and Northfield. And they give, you know, gives them a little more power. So anyway, we decided not to. Like, yo, let's make a power league in New England. Let's make the 10 best prep schools, no matter what class they're in, AAA, AA, AB, the 10 best, and let's make our own league. So we did that. And unfortunately, you know, I'm not going to name any schools, but some of those schools in that, the league that we formed, they would never play us before. Yeah. You know, for whatever reason, they wouldn't play us. But then this year, they had to. So, like, no one could, you know, talk us or whatever you want to say. Yeah. So we played everyone this year. We played the best prep school teams in New England this year. And then we played the other schools, you know, Hargrave twice, and, you know, a lot of schools outside the region. So, honestly, this was, in my opinion, our toughest schedule ever. And we had our margin of victory was 30 plus games. So I just think this team was something else, you know. And then in the national tournament, you know, we had to win four games in the national championship, and our average margin of victory was over 20 points a game.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I want to kind of rewind, man, because obviously you're now a three-time national champion, but your first championship in 2018, man, I feel like that one was –
was special, man, because obviously Drew and I played for you, man, and we saw how bad we all wanted to be the team to win you a national championship, man, and how bad you wanted that, man. Obviously, that team was loaded, too. Kyle Lofton and Osuna Suni, two of the best players in the history of St. Bonaventure. Jose Perez, who's probably going to be the preseason player of the year in the MAC. Hassan Diarra is going to be at UConn this year, all-time leading scorer at Putnam. Cook, obviously, transferred to Georgetown. I mean, that team was insane.
And Josh Mbala, who just has been killing it, he's going to be at Ole Miss. I mean,
that team was crazy, man. I mean, just take me back, because Drew and I were there, man. We made the drive to New London. It was at Conn College.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
that
game,
man. And I remember I had bought my first car that day. And I literally drove it from the dealership. I picked up Chase Daniels at Quinnipiac, up three drove to New London to see the game. Yo, we're going to be there to see this game, man. And obviously, you guys were able to win that moment, man. But just walk me through, you know, what that meant, man, to win that first title in 2018, man, after all the BS, after all the things you had to go through, man, to win that championship in 2018, man. Just what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I appreciate you guys going at Chase, and we had some other alums, so that meant a lot, you know, and I remember, you know, I'll never forget that you guys were there to support us. So, but yeah, I mean, that meant a lot, and, you know, and again, I'll bring up Coach Scraba's name again, you know. When he joined us, like, you know, we were just getting, you know, two recruits, three recruits. We were still playing low level. And we were, you know, our big games were against class, you know, B, class C teams, you know. And, but, you know, we would talk about, you know, if we ever win a national, you know, we want to get to the, you know, a national level team and try to win a national championship. But it was talk and, you know, that was our goal, our dream, et cetera. But did we actually really believe it could happen? You know, obviously we had our doubts and we've had a lot of obstacles, you know, and challenges that some other prep schools don't have to, you know, that didn't go through, don't have to go through. So, but it meant a lot. It meant a lot. It meant a lot to me, but it meant a lot to, first of all, like Putnam Science Academy and honestly, the old Wellspring, the old owners, all those Turkish guys that, you know, go to all the games, support us. And so it was all the history of Putnam Science Academy. And then the current owner, Dr. Ding, for taking a chance on buying a school and keeping, you know, our program here, myself, Coach Grabe, and all the guys that were coming back, Hamadou and Mamadou and all those guys. So, you know, and then the town of Putnam has always been good to us, you know, and you guys were there. I mean, the bleachers, it was 80% Putnam people, 20% Northfield Mount Hermon people, you know? So, it was special. It really was. It was just, you know, again, people don't know how much hard work we've put into this place and our hearts in this place and all the great kids that we've gone, you know, have gone through this program. And so it meant a lot. It really did. That it was something I'll never forget. And it was really, really special. Yeah, it was great. And that group of guys, like you said, I mean, we were so talented and that was just a special group. I mean, Kyle Lofton, you know, will go down as one of the best point guards, leaders of, you know, in Putnam Science history. I mean, he was a guy like Arturo Dean, Barry Evans, and he was just like, Coach, you know, it's not going to, you know, we're going to win this. We're not losing, you know, he's a guy that made me feel really good, you know? But again, you know, you named all those guys on that team. It was a special group. Nick Brennan, who's also at Manhattan. I'm trying to think who else was on that team. Gabe, who ended up going, he's at,
Grand Canyon. I remember he was at Grand Canyon though.
Yeah. Grand Canyon. Who else was on that team? We had, who am I missing? Cam Gooden, he went JUCO. He kind of took a long route, but he's playing Division I basketball too. So that team, it was special. And, you know, I know if you ask Coach Scraba the same thing, he'll tell you. I mean, that was something that we didn't know if it was, you know, deep down, if it was really possible. And it happened. And, we're very thankful and humble about it. And it was a special moment.
Wonderful. Now, I got to ask you, man, you know, you talked about having talented players and, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the first Putnam Science Academy player to make it to the NBA and Hamadou Diallo, a guy that me and Ace played with. Now, I can remember when we first came to Putnam, man. I mean, Hamadou was a character, you know, skinny kid, fresh out of New York, didn't really know anything about, just didn't have a work ethic, really just came onto the court and just played and made it happen. And even that, his sophomore year,
I mean, he was extraordinary. I remember went up against Brewster, was fearless. Went up against Hargrave, was fearless. And I can just remember just seeing his growth after we left and obviously, you know, making it to Kentucky and making it to the NBA. For you, I mean, what does it mean for you to kind of be able to look back on, like, where Jaime was when he first came to Putnam, where he's at now, and what was it like just to be able to coach him for those 3 years that he was at PSA?
It was a headache. No, I mean, Jaime, you know, he, like anyone, you know, he came here young. A lot of times we get, like you guys, we just get post-grads, you right. know, that are 18, 19. He came here when he was 16. You know, leaving his, you know, family, friends, hometown, the city, the whole nine yards. So, you know, it was tough for him, and I understand, you know, it's not easy to leave, you know, and live on your own for the first time, away from your family, et cetera. So, you know, we had our challenges, and but, you know, it was fun. You know, the first year, you know, we had a good season. We had a great group of guys like you guys, and you named all those guys, Kalen and Dondre. And we did a lot of great things that year. We did a lot of great things. And we talked about that, those three big wins in Virginia, and we qualified for the national championship tournament. So it was a great year. And that was, I thought Jaime, that was a good year where Jaime, you know, he learned a lot. And I think it was a lot with, you know, with you guys and teammates, and how I think the biggest thing he had to be was a better teammate. That was he and coachable, but be a better teammate. And the following year, I think he took a huge step, you know, and you guys were gone, obviously, at Quinnipiac, but he grew a lot, I felt, from his junior year to his senior year. And he just, you know, physically and mentally, he was just more mature. And now, as you guys know, you just said he took off that year. That's when he really took off. And then it got crazy for him, you know, and then I gained so much respect for Jaime that year. And then the following year, and we talked about it last weekend at the Hall of Fame, is, you know, everything that kid had to go through. You know, I mean, you're talking about a 17-year-old kid, and I'm not exaggerating. When we would have a game here and there was all these brand name guys, you know, from Under Armour and Nike, Adidas here trying to recruit him for his, you know, the AAU programs. Then we had Division I college coaches here at Syracuse and Pittsburgh and Kentucky and Arizona, Kansas. And then we had NBA scouts here too. You know, it was crazy. And so he had to deal with all this after almost every game, you know, and you're talking about a 17-year-old kid. And I mean, the NBA scouts came the following year as a post grad. Right. That's when the NBA scouts were here. So, But the way he handled it, you know, I had a lot of respect for him because a lot of kids couldn't handle that, you know, and would go to their head. But he always respected us and his teammates and everything like that. And it was great to see him grow, and, you know, and what he's doing now is just amazing. And, you know, and I say this too, I mean, there was players that changed our program, put us on the map, and then got our foot in the door at the national level, and then put us at the national level, kept us at the national level. But Jaime did some other things that, you know, that are unbelievable and we'll never forget as a program is, you know, we got our first sponsor deal from Under Armour. You know, it was like a Division I sponsorship. We were getting everything, you know. And then we had our kids experience a trip to the City of Palms, you know, one of the biggest high school tournaments in the country. And then the national showcase down in Maryland, one of the other big events in high school basketball. So, you know, we traveled like, you know, rock stars, you know, flying on planes and free hotels, free foods, and Under Armour sponsorship and all the stuff he did. I mean, we had, you know, Slam Magazine at all our games, and it was the media that we got was second to none. You know, I mean, he was the king of New York. And I remember the next year or two, like Jaime, what he did to help us get recruits, especially in that New York area, was amazing. I mean, some of our best players that we got after he left was because of Hamidou Diallo. So the last, you know, the what he left at Putnam Science Academy was something that we'll always be grateful for Jaime. And, you know, I do tell him that, like, there's not enough words to thank him for what he's done for us. And, you know, and looking back at it, you know, I might have been a small, you know, this a small piece of his growing throughout his career and Coach Graber, whatever, but it was awesome being a part of it. No matter how small, how big it was an honor to coach him and see him grow. And, you know, we did have our battles, you know, but, you know, I held him to a high standard, and that's just the way it is. And I wouldn't back down. And if you talk to Hamidou today, I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't want me to back down and turn, look the other way and let him cut corners, et cetera. And I wouldn't let him do that. And that's why sometimes we bumped heads, but I think that's why we still have a good relationship today.
Coach, now obviously, you know, we just had a great weekend last week up at the Putnam Science Academy Hall of Fame. Got a chance to go in with our teammate Hamidou Diarra, Coach Josh Scraber, man, Hamidou Diallo, Giant Cornwall. I mean, you guys had a great, great event up there. And I kind of just want to give you an opportunity to just kind of reflect on this year's class and just the ceremony and everything that went into that weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this was awesome. I've been still smiling since the event. Honestly, I had the best time. It's great. It meant a lot to me because I love seeing my old players, students, and people that I work with that well deserve to get in. And it was just a great event. In 2000, so we started the Hall of Fame. We're fairly new. Obviously, the school's 20 years old. So we started the Hall of Fame in the spring of 2018. And we had our first class in the fall of 2018. And it went really well. It was awesome. It was off campus. It was at Connecticut National Golf Course. It was a great event. It was like downstairs. It was kind of small. We had about 40, 50 people. It was a great event. So moving forward, there's a committee of nine, and we went back and forth where to have it and what to do. And, we thought it would mean a lot more for some of our student athletes to come home, you know what I mean? And so we had it in the gymnasium, and our, one of our local schools, St. Joe's Catholic School, which is in the town over in Webster, Mass. They helped us out with the flooring, which, you know, a nice mats on the floor and tables, chairs. So a lot of people helped us out to make this event really nice. And we did all the cooking in-house. You know, the school did a great job helping us out. We fundraised as a committee to have money for the Hall of Fame. So, you know, we were really looking forward to it. And I thought it was a home run. I thought it was great. You know, obviously you two guys got in as contributors. Everything you guys have done for Putnam Science Academy, we can't thank you enough. And then Kenny Chauvin, our sports psychologist, has been with us for 7 years. He also got in. Coach Josh Scraba, who's been with me for 13, 14, 15 years, whatever it's been, he got in. And then we also had Hamidou Diallo, Mamadou Diarra, and Jaheim Cornwall, and the 2015 and 2016 team. So, that was the class, and, you know, it was a special night. You know, you got to have presenters to present the inductees. And I had the honor of doing Jaheim Cornwall, who unfortunately couldn't make it, but Jaheim was, you know, one of our great point guards, kind of always overlooked because he was 5'9". You know, his body wasn't great, not very athletic, but he was just a gamer and a leader, and he was just a natural born leader. And one of our, you know, he led us to back-to-back Final Fours. And then Mamadou Diarra, if you don't know Mamadou, you know, he was our first high major recruit. He went to the University of Connecticut, and unfortunately he had knee issues and his career was cut short, but you give a lot of credit to the University of Connecticut keeping Mamadou on staff as his grad assistant, and first a student manager, then a grad assistant. He graduated just past May with his master's degree, and now he just got a job as a full-time staff member at UConn on the men's team. So it was great to have him back, and he was with us for 2.5 years, and you guys played with him, and you know, he was very special to our school. Again, you guys brought up the Athens, the restaurant, but you know, Mamadou was down there all the time, so he wasn't just part of Putnam Science Academy, but he was a big part of the town of Putnam. And then obviously Hamidou Diallo, I was able to induct him, and you know, he's in the NBA, you know, he's, you know, and we already talked about how special he is, Hamidou. And then Kenny Chauvin, our sports psychologist, who's been with us for 7 years, and he has 40 years of experience, and he does such a great job with our student athletes individually, but also as teams. And then Coach Scrabe, I mentioned his name a number of times, you know, he's my guy. You know, I couldn't do it without him. And, you know, the things I say this all the time, the things I like to do, he doesn't like to do. And the things he likes to do, I don't like to do. So we're like, I'm more the bad cop. He's more the good cop. And we just make a great team. And it was a well-deserved honor for Coach Graba to get in that night. And then that team, the 2015-16 team, you know, we made it to the Final Four. And I think 9 guys on that team played Division I basketball. I think 2 got Division II scholarships and 3 went Division III. There's tons of them playing professionally now or have played professional basketball. And then you guys, you guys well-deserved. You know, it was one of the best moves, you know. Again, we talked about it, bringing you up, Aaron, first. And I remember you coming up. I wish we remembered the other guy's name, but I can't remember. But I remember working you out, and we said, you know, we're going to take a chance on this kid. Let's bring him up. And Coach Doherty, who we talked about already, he's the one that brought you guys up. And he always, over the years, helped us with recruits. But he said, you got to check out these twins. But then he said, you got to try to recruit the brother too, you know, and you got to get him up. But the same thing with you said, Aaron. Andrew had offers, and it was kind of like probably not going to happen. But I don't know if you remember, Andrew, me calling you. Yeah. I remember calling you one, you know, a couple of times and kind of giving the spiel, like, you guys be together and this and that. And, you know, whatever you have now, you'll even get more offers, higher level, et cetera. And, you know, I still say it was one of the best, you know, blessings of having a Putnam Science Academy was having you two guys join our school and our family. And it was, and the year was great. I think we were like 27-8. A lot of good things, a couple bumps in the road, and but overall, it was a great year, and then it worked out for you two, you know, guys staying together, going to Quinnipiac, and I think you verbally committed like in September, and you guys signed right in October, yeah. Whenever.
I think it was like August 31st. We got there on like the 23rd. I want to say it was like August 31st. We verbally committed there.
Yeah, I remember it was early. I do. Yeah. So. But yeah, and then, I mean, since you guys have moved on, we've always had a relationship, not just with me, but with a lot of guys at Putnam, Coach Graver, and it goes down the line. And, you know, when we talk to recruits and about, the kids that we want and the kids that make it here and the kids that are successful and all that, your names always come up. We bring your names up all the time about, perfect example about, because I say it all the time. I say this all the time, you know, life, and I'll say to the parents, I go, listen, this might not be the, you know, you look around our facilities and, you know, this and that, and, you know, it's not the perfect opportunity, but it's a good opportunity. And it's what you make of it. You know, life is all about what you do with your opportunities. And you guys are a perfect example of just, you know, taking full advantage of an opportunity. And I mean, look at you guys right now, you know, how successful you guys are and everything you guys are doing. It's not a surprise at all. You know, anyone that knows you guys, I'm sure it's not a surprise, you know. So, but you guys are a perfect example of what we want in student athletes and what we hope that our student athletes become, you know, and I truly mean this you're Hall of Famers at Putnam Science Academy, but you're also Hall of Fame people. And that's probably the most important thing, you know what I mean? And I'm just thankful that we still have a relationship, and it meant the world to me for you guys to come up, you know, last weekend. So to share that special night, because you guys deserve to be there.
No, we appreciate that, Coach, man. And definitely the sentiment is more than mutual, man. Putnam has a special place in our heart, man. Definitely meant a lot that we got to come back there and be at Putnam in the gym, and even got a chance to sleep in the dorms again, man. That was that was definitely a nostalgic moment, man, to be there with Mamadou and reminiscing on a lot of the old stories, man. But
Speaking of stories, Coach, man, we gotta get one story out of you, man. We gotta get one funny story out of here. See, I'm not sure if I want to get a Scrabble story, an embarrassed Scrabble, or if I want to get a classic homie story, man. You know what I'm saying? Now, we have to be able to tell it on the air. You know what I'm saying?
I'll let you pick.
I'll let you pick. But we need a good one, man. It can't be no cookie cutter story, man. We need a nice story that we can tell on the air. And I'll let you choose if you want it to be a homie story or a Coach Scrabble story. But I'll go ahead and give you the floor.
I don't. That's tough, man. All the ones I have, I can't say on the air. Oh man. Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know. You put me on the spot. Yeah. Holy cow. I just gotta be careful what I say, you know.
Hey, listen, man, Coach Scrabble has told him the S4 stories. This is your one chance to go ahead and get back at him, man. You understand? And go ahead and stick it to him.
Yeah,
I hope you guys have increased the budget on the road, man. I remember we used to go to McDonald's and they give us $5. Get some food.
$5
at McDonald's, though.
Yeah, that's when McDonald's had the dollar menu and footlongs are $5. There's no such thing as that anymore.
The dollar menu was no more. No $5 footlong. We used to try to order last. Yo, hey, everybody change. We get some change. Go up like extra 75 cents. You in business. I hope you guys have increased the budget with that since then, man. Because $5, I don't know. I don't even know if you can get Happy Meal with that nowadays.
Oh, it's crazy. I know. It's insane. I don't know if I have a story, guys. That's good. I don't know. Oh, my God. I do have good ones, but I can't say them.
How about a moment when you said, all right, Maybe a moment in practice with Hami, man, because obviously, you through the years, there's been a lot of good moments, but also been some moments where like, all right, man, this kid here is a little tough, man. How about one of those moments you like, all right, like a practice that sticks out, or you like you really had to get on him, or maybe a game you guys went at it, or something like that.
Well, how about that? How about a cook story?
We'll do that.
This is a good one.
I bet.
So I remember, you know, now this was the national championship year, 2018.
Yep.
Now Cook was our starting three man.
Yep.
6'8", 6'9", starting. I mean, that's how big we were, you know.
Yeah. Who was the four that year?
Starting. Mbala was at the four. Yeah. Osun was at the five.
Jeez.
Jose 6'6", was our two guard, and Kyle 6'4".
That's a high major starting five.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were huge. So, I don't know, Cook – you know, I was upset with Cook for a couple things. And then he came into practice like right on time. But I like our guys to be early, you know, and he like walks in. He doesn't have his practice shirt on and he kind of just, you know, moping, you know, a Cook, like, you know, sometimes he's, you know, doesn't smile and he's kind of moping in there. He grabs his shirt or something. I don't remember all the details and Coach Graver probably knows it better. But I kind of snapped like, let's go, you know, get your shirt on. What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Where's your shirt? And he said something like, it's right there because it was on the ground. And I snapped and I said, get out of here. You know, get out of here. So I kick him out of practice. And now I'm pissed. You know, I'm sorry. I'm mad. I tell these guys, I say, I go, have him pack his stuff up. When I kicked him out, I go, pack your stuff up, get out of here. Go home, be done, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I kick him out of pride. I tell him he's done for the year, kicking him out. And so everyone, you know, and my coach is like, now it's like quiet in there. Everyone's just like quiet. So I did. I told him to get out. And I told him he's done. Like, pack your stuff and get out of here. Go home. So now I'm watching practice. And I think we're doing guards and bigs, you know. And so I'm watching the guards. And then we're missing and this and that. It had to be like 10 minutes. And everyone's quiet. Like one of the coaches, I don't know if it was Shane Doyle, or maybe it was Scraba. They come up, they're like, hey, you know, maybe we just suspend him, maybe not kick him off. You know. So I don't really say anything, you know. And I'm like, no, he's done. Like I was mad. So the more I watch, and guys aren't doing good, this and that. So then all of a sudden, I call Coach Scraba up, and I go, come here. He goes over. I go, has a Cook left yet? I said, go get him, you know. Make sure he doesn't leave, you know. And oh my God, they still bust me about that. Like, you know, the guys were shooting and I don't know if it was up and down, I can't remember, but we weren't doing good. And then all of a sudden I was like, yo, has Cook left yet? Yeah,
make sure you might need that guy.
And then, you know, then he made a great run after that. And that national championship game, I mean, he hit like five threes. And Cook was a really special player. He had he ended up having a great career. And he's going to do great things, I think, at Georgetown. So we're looking forward to that. So
no, Coach, man, you're not off the hot seat, man. Got to keep these quick hitters coming, man. Yeah. So you got three national title teams. You mentioned the two teams with Jaheim that made back-to-back Final Fours. I need you to rank those teams, like top three best teams ever at Putnam Science Academy. Who would you put in that top three best teams?
Top three out of all the teams.
Yeah. Even if like maybe a team that didn't win, if you want to put them up there, like our team, you know.
Yeah. So, the first number one is this year's team.
All right. I want to ask, that team better than 2018 team? The 2018 team was – we listened to names earlier.
Yeah. That team was good, but, you know, we were 38-4 that year. We had four losses that year. And we had some other games that were close. You know, I mean, in that national championship run, we won the semifinals and the finals in overtime.
Yeah.
So this year's team, we blew out everybody. So this year's team is number one, best team ever. Number two has got to be 2018. You know, what they did, I mean, and, you know, even moving forward, I mean, every play was special, and they had unbelievable college careers as well, you know. But that 18 team was unbelievable. So I would have said they're number two. And now number three, it's a tough one. But, you know, honestly, I would say the 2018-19 team. So we won it in 18, and then the next year we had the guys that we had was Tyson Etienne, mm-hmm. Wichita State, Hassan, and then we had Charles Pride, who was having a great career, Bryant, and then we had Nate Stokes actually start at the four as well, and then Russell Chua, who's at South Florida, who originally went to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
But then we had great players coming off the bench. That team, we always talk about it, that was probably the best team. Remember Abu, who's at North Texas, and Marty, who's St. Peter's. Yeah. It was a really good team. But we always say that was a team that was probably the best team we ever had that didn't win it and didn't win the national championship. And we were, you know, DeMar Langford was on that team, was at Boston College.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of returners from that, you know, a cook. And, you know, so we had a lot of guys, you know, and we lost in the semifinals we had a shot to win it. Or I should send it to overtime. We lost to Scotland and Pennsylvania. But I think if we won that game, we were going to win the national championship. And honestly, you know, all the credit to Scotland, but they played the game of their lives and they played a great game and I give them credit. But the one guard, I can't think of his name. He's at Texas Tech still. Wasn't a great shooter, tough, great player, but he shot the lights out that day, hit like six threes. It was like more threes than he had all season. It was just one of those games that, you know, they deserve the win. But I think if we played them 10 times, we beat them 8-9 times, but they had us that day. I think if that was a team that could have, should have won the national championship. And if they did, we would have won four straight national championships.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I think it's crazy to me just sitting here and that thinking where we were, when I was here, even going further back, like when even before they were like Chase and Durham, all those guys, man.
that was one of the good teams that we had. I was thinking about them.
Yeah.
Chase Daniels, Jordan Butler. That was Danny Upchurch.
Yeah.
Very, very tough. But we had so many good teams. Your team was so good, the 15, 16 team. It was
that team with Chase and them probably would have won it if it was a boxing match or if we were doing like UFC competition. Yeah. that team probably was the toughest team that you probably had here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you guys got a lot of Chase Daniels stories. You could.
Oh man, listen, tell you what stuff you can't tell on the air. I don't know how to tell anyone a little story on the air.
Yeah, that team was crazy. They were like the Detroit Piston bad boys in the 90s. That was them, man.
But they won, though. They won a lot of games.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They were tough, man. Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I still remember going up to Brewster, and, you know, Brewster was low. Donovan Mitchell, Jared Terrell.
Jared Reuter.
Who played at URI. I mean, they were loaded. And I remember they were winning, but we were making a run. We were making a run. It was like 8 minutes left. We're down like six or eight. We had all the momentum. And I don't know. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Terrell was going up for a hard layup there. We started chirping. And one of our Kyle Menard, clothesline just took him out. They just came out. I mean, Chase Jordan throwing punches. It was game ended. We lose because we were, you know, whatever. And but I remember that. But then the next day, we go up to Bridgeton. It was an overnight trip. We went up to Bridgeton. It was very good at the time. And we just punched him in the mouth. We kicked, you know, we just destroyed him. Mamadou, Jordan, Chase blocking everything. And that team was, you know, physically tough, mentally tough. I mean, they were crazy, let's be honest.
Yeah. Bad boy Pistons.
Literally, the bad boys, yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, that was the last question I had. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to ask him, Drew. Yeah, I was just going to ask this, man. I remember, I do want to ask, you know, one more question. I remember at the Hall of Fame, you brought up kind of Tyson Etienne, and you talked about how, like, you know, he had one of the craziest work ethics that you had seen from a player, like, at Putnam Science Academy. Obviously, you know, we've had, obviously, Hami, like I said, I meant to the NBA, a bunch of high major players. Like, for you, like, who are some of the, just from a raw time perspective, just guys that you've coached and been like, wow, like, you know, this dude is special. Who are some other guys that kind of come to mind outside of the Hamis, you know, that obviously is everybody knows about, you know, like, that kind of stick out? Because I feel like Tyson Etienne is a guy not too many people would think of when you first think of PSA, you know what I'm saying? Because only went here for 1 year. But you've coached a bunch of special players that I feel like people don't even really think about, you know, when they think about PSA. So, like, just who are some of the other special players that kind of come to mind when you think about the guys that you coached over the years? And even a guy like Scucci, who was kind of the first guy. I remember when you were recruiting me to Putnam, like, Scucci was the guy that I was looking at because he was like a guy that came to PSA and I was ended up going to Dayton, playing on that Elite Eight team. And he was getting – I used to go watch his highlights. And, yo, this dude was like a – he was a high major guy, you know. He probably had some Power Five schools that were recruiting him. But when you look back at just some of the players that you've coached, like outside of obviously guys like Hami, like who are some of the like truly special players that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, like Charles Pride is one for sure. I mean, he was really good with us. Really, we had him for 1 year, but then you know he went over to Bryant. Could have went higher. Yeah. You know, went to Northeast Conference, and he's had an unbelievable career. I mean, he's a special player. I mean, he's a high major kid. Like, if he put his name in the portal right now, he would have Syracuse. He would have all these high majors after him, you know? Yeah. So Charles Pride is definitely one of them. I'm looking around some other guys. Chuba Ohams, you know? I mean, he's another guy. He played first semester with us, and then he ended up leaving for certain different reasons. But he was on that 16 team.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even playing, you know, a lot. But I mean, what he's done at you know, Fordham, I mean, he'll have a Hall of Fame career there, you know? And then, again, Josh Mbala, who I already mentioned, you know, he was good with us, you know, powerful, but, you know, he didn't get the recognition like Oshun did and some of the other young guys we had on that team, like a Cook and Hassan. But Mbala was a beast, you know. I mean, he went to Texas Tech. It didn't work out. But when he transferred to Buffalo, I mean, he's done really, really, you know, really had an unbelievable career. Now he's, you know, going finishing up at Ole Miss. Yeah. But those guys kind of stick out, you know, for sure. You know, another guy that we talked the other night, you know, Josh Wallace, you know, he was such a talented player, you know, We've had so many. I mean, we have another kid, Johnny Williams. He was on that 18-19 team that didn't win it. Yeah. But he's a Florida kid. And this is probably one of the most unique stories. So he's a 6'4 shooter. He comes with us. And I'm telling you, he didn't play. He didn't play at all the whole first semester. He didn't play Billy at all in January because his IQ was very low. Like, he didn't know the sets offensively, defensively, and I was very frustrated with him. So he just didn't play, but he always played hard and he would always hit shots. And then we kind of went like a little slump. We lost a game or two or something. And I was like, and we had a couple injuries actually that year. So we're like, you know what, let's put him in the starting line. And everyone loved Johnny. Like, everyone loved this kid. So he starts and he has a great game. And then we end up keeping him in the lineup. And he just sparked us I take that back. He was on the 19-20 team that we won it.
Okay.
And then he led us all the way to the, you know, co-national championship that year. Yeah. Like, and this kid like I said, he didn't play November, December, January. And we finally let him play in February. And he led us February, March to a national championship. And no one, I don't know if many kids could have done what he did, not playing, still coming to practice every day, competing, not pouting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, that's probably one of the most amazing stories I've ever seen. A kid not playing and then still staying with it, you know, buying in and then, you know, finishing his, you know, the season, leading us to a title and then getting Division I offer and moving on. And you know, he's still in the same boat right now, not playing a lot here and there. But what amazing kid and story he is.
Now we got about 3 minutes left on this call. I want to ask you, Coach, like, what's next for Putnam, man? Like, where do you see the program going? Like, you've won the national titles, man. I mean, where do you see this program going, you know, from here on out?
You know, I don't know. A new facility, a new gym would be huge.
We need that.
So if we get that, and then now maybe we're getting those top 25, top 50 kids right away, you know, instead of, you know, a year or two after they become that. So – but yeah, you know, again, and as you guys know, I'm very, you know, I always say my biggest strength as a coach is I don't have an ego, and we have so many great people working here. The coaches that we've had, assistant coaches that I've had, you know, that have moved on to college, and the ones I have today, you know, right now, are the best. And you know, we're a team. You know, we're a school, we're a team, we're a family, and I know as a team, we're not gonna take a step backwards. You know, I see us staying on top and keep moving forward. And I'm excited with the future holds. And, you know, again, you know, our mindset here, when kids come here, you know, we're here to win. You know, some prep school coaches, you'll ask them, you know, what's your goal? What do you want to do? You know, and they say, oh, we just want to place kids in colleges, or we want to do this and that. We want to win. And that's what we do. We prepare to win, but we feel – preparing to win, it gets all those other things, you know, like you will get your scholarship. I've never coached a Division I kid that didn't get a Division I scholarship. Like, if you're a Division I player, you'll get a Division I scholarship. Well, I shouldn't say that. Not right now, maybe not with the transfer portal and COVID and all that. But in the past, that's how it is. But preparing to win, you teach kids that you got to go to school, you got to do the right things, because then you won't participate. You know what I mean? So it's not just winning games, but wanting to win, it's all business here. And that's kind of our philosophy. And I don't see us going anywhere.
Yeah. Man, I definitely want to just, like I said, man, just take a time to say thank you, man, for coming on, man. This was definitely a pleasure to be able to catch up, Coach. And, you know, I'm always extremely grateful for you guys at Putnam Science Academy, because you guys gave us the first opportunity to kind of continue our career after Springbrook and play together, and gave us the opportunity to play, obviously, eventually at Quinnipiac together, and then eventually at Coppin together. But, you know, I would say this, man, like, Putnam is more so like a family. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of kids that come to prep school, and it's like a 6-7 month rental. You come there, you play, and then it's like, all right, I'll never see you guys again. I'm off to bigger and better things, you know? So I've always been grateful that we've been able to, you know, keep in contact with you guys, follow the program, and you know what I'm saying? I know that our relationship is going to continue, you know, for the rest of our lives, you know, but I think it's definitely, I think we went to Putnam for 8-9 months. I don't even remember, did we leave in March or May? I don't even remember when we left Putnam, but yeah, I just remember we were there for a short time. And just, I think the impact, you know, that it had on us in that small amount of time, you, Coach Scrab, Coach Trav, and the whole nine, man, it just shows, you know, how special that place is, that even now, 7 years later, you know, we're still this close and, you know, able to kind of reminisce on these things, man. So definitely want to give you a shout out, Coach, because what you've been able to build at Putnam is extraordinary, man. And I said this to you at the Hall of Fame too, man. I was like, I feel like it also speaks how special that place is, the fact that, you know, you've won 3 national championships and you're still at Putnam. You know, I know you probably have coaches that come and probably try to poach you up to the next level, but, you know, you stay low in the PSA. And I think that just speaks to, again, how special the program is. So definitely want to be able to give you your flowers, Coach. And, you know, everybody talks about the Kevin Boyles of the world and all these big time high school prep basketball coaches, and those guys are great, man. But, you know, you're truly one of the best coaches in the country, you know, and I definitely want to get on here and let you know that, you know, face to face in person, man. And, you know, me and Ace have the word of respect for you. And I know that, you know, you're going to continue to do great things in the prep school ranks going forward.
I appreciate that, Andrew. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right, folks. And as we said in the beginning, man, make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. And it's going to be him on the outro. Also, make sure you guys are giving us a like, a retweet on social media when you see this. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, please. And until next time, folks, this has been another episode. Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm throwing in the clutch, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline. You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. I don't bear. Let's go.